Good morning. So as we begin our time together today, I kind of just want to give us a quick overview look at what this Koinonia Youth Group year has looked like for us. So as we began our ministry year in September, we've been going through a deep character study of the life of David and what that looked like for him to come from just very humble beginnings, very unassuming beginnings, as you consider even his father Jesse handing over each and every other single one of his brothers to be considered for the kingship of Israel and leaving David to work out in the field as a shepherd boy. To now, where we see this great king of Israel in his final days of life as he is handing over the reins of the kingdom to his son Solomon, and he's imparting his last words to his nation, to his son, where this line will continue to ultimately come together at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And what that looked like, just the excitement of it all. But it's one thing to consider us as leaders, maybe what we thought impacted us or what we thought was edifying, and what maybe went well throughout the ministry year. But I think it's another thing for us to take a step back as leaders and for you, Calvary Bible Church, to hear from our youth as to what impacted them the most in the midst of this study. So we're going to get out of the way, and I want you guys to take a seat, get excited to hear from some of our youth as to what impacted them the most throughout this year of looking at King David and just all of those that he impacted throughout his life.
I feel like one of the most impactful stories that we went over this year so far for me was David versus Goliath. In the story, Goliath was this giant, big-bodied dude, and he was in the battlefield intimidating all the people that were trying to battle him, and they were all scared. And then there's this little guy, and he rolls up and he's like, oh, this guy's nothing. My God can handle this. And he manages to defeat him. Like, that's just crazy to me. That basically tells me that you can do anything when God's with you.
I think the most impactful story for me personally would have to be the story of Mephibosheth, because he was disabled. He was also one of Saul's relatives. And back then, usually the king would kill off all the previous king's relatives, but he didn't, or anyone that was close to the previous king. And he just showed God's love and forgiveness to him, and I thought that was amazing.
Hey guys, something that I've learned that was very influential to me from Koinonia was the story where Saul was coming after David trying to kill him, and he took a little break and went into a cave and started sleeping, and didn't realize that David and his men were in the cave. And right there, David had a chance to kill Saul and end the whole thing, but he listened to God's word and listened to God and decided not to. And that gives me personally a thought of, even though people are persecuting us and are going at us, we can still forgive them.
Hi everyone. I think the lesson that was most impactful for me was about David and Jonathan's friendship, and just to see how loyal they were to each other, and like just despite their circumstances and stuff, I thought that was really interesting.
Hey guys. So my favorite lesson that we learned about in youth group this year was towards the end of the book, towards the end of 2 Samuel, and it was about David's depending on God. He wrote an entire song, in all of chapter 22. It was all about God. It was called God's Deliverance, David's Song of God's Deliverance. And so it just talks about all these ways that God provides for him, provides for his people, and it's just it's an impactful point to me personally, because I struggle with depending on God more than depending on myself, and just see this biblical character so well expressing, and he also lived it so well, that dependence on God is just really helpful and encouraging to me. And he also reiterates it in his last words in chapter 23, the end of chapter 23. So that was what was most impactful to me.
Honestly, I really enjoyed when we studied David's friendship with Jonathan.
His friendship was really steadfast, and it actually, in the Bible, it says that Jonathan loved David as if he were his own soul. So I think we could really learn from that and consider our friendships in our lives.
I think the most impactful message that we've learned from David is, like, what hit me was the story when he killed somebody to get his way. Like, usually we think that that's like a greater sin, but like all of our sins are equal, so no matter how we try to get our way, it's equal to us killing somebody to get our way. So I think that really hit me hard, you know, that we should let God have control, and we should pray before we make those big decisions in the first place.
And at the end of the day, we saw that David was called a man after God's own heart, right? And what that truly meant for him, it wasn't simply just because he wasn't perfect. Jesus is perfect. David was not. He was filled with much sin. But we also saw time and time again David make much of God and seek for others to know who God was, whether it was through victory or repentance and turning away from his sin. And so we then have to consider, how might we, as a Koinonia ministry, take a step back and see and consider how we can seek to make much of God and show some of those positive qualities of David's life.
So I think that the story in David's life that most expressed his heart for the Lord was when he went out to fight Goliath. And I think his attitude and his demeanor kind of is all summed up in this one verse that he says, verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin," pretty intimidating. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." It's just so amazing that he expresses how much he trusted in God and relied on him. He didn't rely on the swords, the spears, the shield, the javelin, the armor. He relied on God to give him the victory and to overcome this seemingly insurmountable obstacle of fighting this giant. And so just to pull that into our own lives, personally, me, myself, is that when we feel worried and when I feel afraid of something and nervous and like it's out of my comfort zone, I just need to trust God and rely on him to take care of it, because he is all-powerful and bigger than anything we could ever face, any trial, any tribulation, any hard task. Thanks.
Psalm 101 is a psalm that I personally really like, but it's also a story of how David recognizes his sin and is repenting. He says that he wants to walk with integrity of heart. He wants God's forgiveness. He recognizes his sin and he recognizes his mistakes, but still he seeks after God's forgiveness. And I think that we can totally take that positive quality. We can always constantly be searching for forgiveness from God. We need to recognize that on our own, we don't deserve anything. And the only way we're ever going to be worth something is through Christ. So I guess we can just take that into consideration, that we need his forgiveness.
One story where David's heart for the Lord is very noticeable is David and Goliath. The fact that he could just trust God in such a way that he could go through and complete with just complete faith in the Lord is really admirable for me. I think that is really, really cool. And I think I can display these qualities in my life by making sure I'm praying and really building my relationship with God, so that when big trials come and I can have complete faith that the outcome is completely what God would have wanted, and that I can just have a sound mind in everything that's going on and just know that God is with me throughout the whole thing.
That Koinonia has taught me over the year about David's story is that David used to pray before every battle for protection, for wisdom, and for strength. And I think that we as Christians nowadays can use that to motivate ourselves to pray and to allow God to fully take control of the battle that we are in.
One of the stories that portrays David's godliness was when Jonathan had died and his son was
Mephibosheth, and David actually invited Mephibosheth to come eat with him in his castle. So I think he was very kind there, and he wanted to portray kindness to Jonathan's son.
I think we see David's heart most when Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him, because, like, that's crazy. But he, whenever he had a chance, he wasn't killing Saul. He could have just killed Saul and, like, had a normal life. But he chose not to kill the Lord's anointed because he said that was wrong. It was against what God had planned for his life.
David was a man after God's own heart. We can see this when Saul was trying to kill him. David hid in a cave, and Saul, while searching for David, went in that same cave to try to get some sleep. Now, all the people that were with David were like, yo, go kill him, he's right there. But instead of David actually going and killing him, he took the corner of his robe, he cut it. And when Saul awoke, he showed it to him. And the reason he did this was because he saw Saul as God's chosen man. I feel like we can display the same quality in our own life by not seeking revenge on everything that happens to us. Saul was trying to kill David. David could have just ended it right there, but he didn't. He didn't seek revenge on Saul. We can use that in our own lives by not getting back at people, by turning the other cheek, and living the life that God wants us to live.
So as we saw the life of David, it wasn't one that was simply filled with gumdrops and rainbows. It wasn't one that was filled with the stereotypical protagonist story where everything they touch practically turns into gold and they don't have to try very hard. No, it was actually one filled with much loss, much regret, and much hardship on the part of David because of choices that he made, because of character flaws that he had. But I think then we also had to take a step back and recognize that God put that in his word for a reason. He wanted us to see it for a reason. And so we then have to consider, how might we see some of these mistakes and some of these character flaws and continue to grow for the sake of Christ, for the sake of God's kingdom, and putting others and ultimately God far before ourselves.
Hey guys, it's Jalen, and one of David's biggest character flaws was that he wasn't a very strong-willed parent. A part of that is probably because he had so many children with so many different wives that he probably neglected some because he is the king. He does have a lot on his plate. But yeah, he probably didn't treat all of them the same. What I can learn personally from his mistakes is just to treat anyone, not only my future kids, but treat anyone as they would want to be treated, and to just love everyone no matter or what they are.
There was some flaws with David, though. He was a little bit self-centered, so I guess we could learn to favor people above ourselves and be more selfless, I guess.
No, David was a man after God's own heart. He did have some character flaws, lust being the most noticeable, and that came back to bite him. He lost his son because of it. Just because God punished him in this way doesn't mean that he ever stopped loving him. God never stops loving you, and he never will.
I think David's biggest character flaw is that he didn't deal with issues in his family very well. The main example is in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. This kind of sums it up. And a messenger came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." Then David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom." Now, Absalom was David's oldest son, and he had tried to take over David's throne. He kind of stirred up the people and got them on his side, which was wrong because David was still alive. So, when David found out about this, as we just heard, he said, "Let's flee, let's go away." And he kind of reacted in a way that expressed that he figured it would just resolve itself, and I don't need to deal with this, I can just, it'll take care of itself, let's just get out of here for a while. So what we can learn from this is that when we are facing struggles in our families or just in general, that we need to face them. We need to acknowledge them and find a solution, but find a godly solution. And with God's help, it should resolve in a way that is giving glory to Him and bringing us back together as a body of Christ.
And I think some of David's flaws were his own greed and his pride really blinded his common sense and made him act on emotion instead of doing what, you should do as a godly Christian.
For me personally, I feel like one of David's biggest character flaws was sinful desire. We could take Bathsheba as an example. He saw her and wanted her so bad that he had her husband killed at the front line of the battle that was going on during that time. And God severely punished him for this. He took his son from Bathsheba's womb, and he missed out on a lot of great blessings that he could have gotten if he didn't commit that sin. And there's one great thing that we can learn from this. Sin comes with a consequence.
I think one of David's biggest character flaws would have to be selfishness. He wasn't a selfish person, and then that wasn't always how he was, but sometimes it led to jealous things. Like in the case of Bathsheba and her husband, he led her husband to the war to go die purposely because he just wanted what he wanted and when he wanted it. And I think that's a very selfish mindset, and we can learn how, through his experience, how to not think that way and just to think of others before ourselves.
Well, I just want to say a big thank you to guys and really congratulate you for a job well done. I know we didn't have a whole lot of time to work on this little project and put it together for today, but you guys really stepped up to the plate and answered that call, and I'm just so thankful for you guys. You did a really good job today, and I'm just so proud of you. Just thinking back on all the different lessons that we've covered this year and just seeing everything that you guys remembered and how you really took those lessons to heart is so encouraging for me. And so on behalf of the whole leadership team, I just want to say, I think I can speak for everybody, we've been teaching you all year. And I want you to realize that for every lesson we taught you guys, I feel like we got two lessons back. You guys have taught us as a team so much this year, and especially for me and Dan. I mean, this is our first year really running this youth ministry, and I'm just so thankful for you guys, and it's been a blast. And I just wanted to share a couple of takeaways as we really try to tie this study up and put a bow on it. I just want to leave you guys with a couple of closing thoughts before we shut the door on the life of David this year. Something that's been a common thread as we've really progressed through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and even part of Kings, it's just been God's willingness, and it seems like eagerness to work together with both young and old in ministry. And look at how David's journey started. I mean, he was just a very young boy who was a shepherd. Really, he was a nobody. He was just like any one of us. I mean, he was probably as old as most of you guys in youth groups when we read about him in 1 Samuel 16. And so take, his life, the journey through everything that God delivered him from through his whole life, and he died full of years. So just imagine how God is going to be doing the same thing with all of you, just kind of shaping you and molding you and using you all the way. And so really the first challenge, or the first takeaway I want to give to you guys, is don't lose sight of what gives you success. I guess more specifically, don't lose sight of what gave David success. It wasn't because he was strong, because he was brave, because he was courageous in battle, or because he was able to slay his 10,000 Philistines or whatever. That's not what gave David success. As a matter of fact, it's the complete opposite. What really gave David success was being able to seek to do the Lord's will in everything. We know that he wasn't perfect. I mean, you guys just shared several examples of David when he would mess up and when he would sin. But at the end of the day, the Lord chose to work through David and to allow David to lead his chosen people because David had a heart for the Lord. And honestly, God knew the mistakes that David was going to make long before he called him to be king, and yet he still chose to work through David. He knew the level of sin that David was going to commit, and he knew how that would affect not only his life, but the rest of his family and his children and the rest. But God chose to work through him anyway. I just want to encourage you guys, don't lose sight of what gave David success. And as you, just like you've done this morning, with all these different elements of ministry, don't lose sight of what gave David success. And in your own life, don't lose sight of what makes you successful.
Second point I want to make to you is understand the importance of your youth. Understand that these are some of the most important years of your life, where it's shaping and molding you into the man and woman that you're going to become, and the years of service that you have ahead of you for the Lord. Just remember, your youth is extremely, extremely important. And I want you to not look at your youth as something that you just need to get past, or just push your way through so you can get some real life, and then you can enjoy what life is like on the other side. These are a very valuable set of years. I mean, just think about David. When David was a shepherd boy, he was called and anointed to be the next king of Israel. He had to wait years, decades, before he finally got to sit upon that throne. Those were not wasted years, right? God didn't make a mistake and accidentally anoint him 20 years too early. That's not the point at all. God chose David, knowing what he was going to accomplish through David, and took those years as an opportunity to shape him and mold him and make him into the servant that God needed him to be in order to lead his people well. So I want you to take just a survey of your life right now, the things that you like to do, your hobbies, your friends, the people that you spend the most time with, the people that you influence, and also the people that influence you. Think about the opportunities you have to serve and to minister. Those are all valuable, valuable pieces of your life that are giving you the experience that you need to accomplish God's work that He has planned for you. So don't look at these years of your life as something you just need to get through before you can start living life. These years right now are so important, and it's influential, and it's really shaping the man and woman you're going to become in the next 20 years. So don't lose sight of that. If David had sat there and just, you know, looked at his life and thought, man, I just really like to be sitting on that throne right now, and missed all the opportunities to practice, right? Practice government, practice administration, practice his skill in battle. If he just sat down and just waited for the throne, think of what a loser of a king he would have been without any experience at all. So take advantage of these years as an opportunity to allow the Lord to work in you and allow the Holy Spirit to shape and mold you so that you are going to be fit for service in his kingdom for the rest of your life. And then finally, I want to encourage you to seek counsel. Now, Darren already said in his testimony that David sought the Lord's counsel before he went into any battle, before he made a big decision, right? He made prayer a very, very, very crucial part of his life. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same. There is no request that's too small for our Lord. We call him Father. We call him Abba Father because he cares so much about us that at any time of day, any care or concern that we have, no matter how big or how small, we can bring that before our Heavenly Father. He will listen to us. I just want to encourage you to approach that the same way that David did. Make prayer an everyday part of your life, something that you just can't fathom making a decision without consulting with the Lord first. That's number one. But don't just seek counsel in prayer. That's really the most important ones. But think of all the other ways that David sought the Lord's counsel. He did that through his own family. I want to encourage you. Our world today is trying to tear you away from your families, right? I think Satan is being very strategic in undermining and destroying the way that God designed the family to operate. As a youth ministry, we don't want to pull you away from your parents and teach you all these lessons that you need to know. We want to work together with your parents to do that task that the Lord has entrusted to your parents. They have to be a part of this process for you. Welcome that and enjoy it. They've lived more life than you, and they have great advice to give you. So I just want to encourage you with that. But also, think of the other people that David asked for counsel. Think of what Samuel was to David. Think of the role that Samuel played in his life. That was an elder, somebody that he really could trust, that he had the Lord's will as the number one priority when giving advice. Do you have those mentors, right? Do you have those people in your life that you can look to and really just get really sound, solid biblical counsel? I know when I was in youth group, I'm just so thankful that I had those people in my life, people that were investing in me and pouring into me, right? I had, Nate here and, Dan Merklin, my dad, many others, and not just in youth group, but just people in the congregation that to this day, they always just pull me aside with a smile on their face. I can't list everybody because it's just too many, but you know who you are. Just put your hands on my shoulder and just ask, how are you doing today? You just have no idea how much that means to me, and I just want to thank you for that. And I just want to encourage the youth, do you have those people in your life right now that you can go to for biblical counsel? If you don't, I encourage you to find those people. And as a challenge to the congregation, to the church, look at all these faces that you just saw on your screen this morning. Take them under your wing. Take a vested interest in their life, the things that they enjoy doing, the things that maybe they're dealing with or they're going through, some of the things that they hope to accomplish. Take an interest in them and shepherd them and lead them, because that's the future of this church. We can't lose them to the world. So I just want to give you those three challenges, really, not just for the youth, but really for the whole congregation, from the life of David that we've been able to observe in our study this year. Don't lose sight of what actually gives us success. It was never David's bravery or his skill in battle that won him the day. I mean, if that's the case, then Saul would have made an excellent king, because he had all of those qualities. That's not what gave David success. It was his heart for the Lord. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of that at all. We know that you're talented. We saw that with the music, and just, you guys are such good public speakers, and you are not afraid to defend your faith, to articulate the gospel to the world. But I just need to mention, need to caution you, don't rely on the talent. The talent is not what's going to get you there. It wasn't enough for Saul. It's not going to be enough for you. If you want to be more than that, don't lose sight of what gives you success. Second, understand the importance of your youth. These years are important. Do not throw them away. Just imagine if you could take the sum total of all the time that you spend on your hobbies, all the technology, the friends that you hang out with. Like, what are you building in yourself? What are you training yourself to be right now? Are you proud of it? Right? If not, I would encourage you to make some changes and make sure that you're investing in the things that are actually going to pay you back and give you a return on that investment for the time that you spent. And then finally, seek counsel in church. Give it. This is a partnership. They've been a blessing to us, and I just encourage all of us really to work together to be a blessing to them as well. I can't say how proud I am of you. I can't say how thankful I am of you guys right now. I'm just so happy for everything that we've been able to enjoy this year. It's not the year that we expected. I can tell you right now, there's no way that I would have imagined that all of a sudden we just have to leave the church, the building, I should say, of the church, not the congregation. We'd have to leave that brick and mortar. We'd have to stop the snack time and the game time and all that stuff and meet in our own homes over Zoom call. But you know what? You guys answered the call. And I think the Lord was able to do something very special this year. I saw you guys inviting friends. I mean, how in the world, you tell me, you explain to me how our youth group grew in the midst of a pandemic. How come we added new people to our youth group even though we couldn't meet anymore? I think the Lord, we just watched the Lord do something really incredible in our youth group this year. I just want to make sure that, again, we are giving them credit for that success back to the Lord. He's doing something very special with all of you right now. And I just pray that you guys are ready to give him your heart and just run with it and accomplish his will for your life. Again, I'm so proud of you guys, and it's been a great time of worship. And I just pray that you guys, you know, as we come down the next couple of weeks here, as we wrap up our study in David, I just pray that you guys will never, ever forget these lessons. Thanks so much, guys.